The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar. She's reading the Metro Times.
Good to be here.
Okay. Did they change something? It says Detroit Metro Times up there. I don't ever remember the word Detroit. Is it a redesign?
Oh, okay.
Totally redesigned. First issue.
Okay, there you go. Do you enjoy reading the Metro Times?
It was something to look at while I was waiting for everybody to show up.
So, yes. I just remember reading the Metro Times growing up. Detroit's alternative newspaper always has fun stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Originally, the only place in Detroit you could read Matt Groening's Life in Hell comic strip, yep, where the Simpsons were born. Oh, my. Okay. Well, there's all sorts of things in the Metro Times. Every place has a newspaper like the Metro Times.
And of course, on the back, we have...
Of course, Lover's Lane, yes. Oh, well.
Advertisers.
I am certain that Professor Kendra Evans also read the alternative newspaper in whatever town she grew up in. And it had just as crazy things in it, right?
Almost certainly.
Have you ever read the Metro Times since you've been in the metro area?
No. In Ann Arbor, Detroit? I spotted I was reading over your shoulder, and I spotted some strange advertisements. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what is she looking at? And now I know. It's the Detroit Metro Times. Indeed. So now I've been introduced.
Yes.
Indeed.
I think that they did do definitely a rebrand, Professor Chow, because Metro Times pretty much could be anything.
Yes,
Detroit
pretty
Metro
much.
Times. Yeah. Narrows it down.
Well, they also merged with Real Detroit recently.
They did?
Yes. They merged last year.
I guess that's why there's one less stack at the donut shop.
Yeah, there's one less.
Yeah, there you go. So, that answers a lot of questions, actually. Sure. We just heard the dulcet tones of Professor Chuck Hokit. It's been a while since we've had
Hello.
You, Chuck, but we're so glad to have you back. I'm sure you're following all the updates from Tiger's Winter Caravan these last couple days.
Yes.
Yeah. Why did the Detroit Tigers send a bunch of players to Oakland University and not to the university in the town where they play? How about that? I mean, Verlander was just walking around taking selfies with students. I mean, that would be cool if he did that here.
Because we are the poor stepchild.
Yeah. Do you think he may be
We're
listening?
Cinderella.
Yeah,
not anymore.
Detroit University.
Oh, man. It's only 28 days until spring training.
No,
isn't that
not that he's counting, right?
Pitchers and
catchers. Yeah, nobody's counting here.
I'm talking first pitch, right?
That's right.
Oh, well, until then, you have to make do with Deflategate.
No,
or Balgazi, as I've heard.
Oh, not again.
But also, Scherzer's not doing it for the money.
He's going to a winning team.
Yeah, not doing it for the money.
He's gone.
Hopefully, my Seahawks will win for a second year.
That would be nice.
Just beating Bill Belichick.
They're using deflated balls or no deflated balls?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody on the radio the other day said.
Are they using Brady's?
Right. When you're talking about someone like Tom Brady and the rest of the team, once you're that good and you've been good that long, it gets bored. So now you just try to see what you can get away with. I'm like, that actually fits
apparently,
really well psychologically.
One of the Colts players tweeted something effective. He could have thrown a bar of soap and we would have lost.
Yeah.
Because they supposedly used the correct size balls the second half. And
yeah.
But what an easy thing to prevent. I mean, just for this 2 hour and 50 minute period, right? Yeah. I mean, so put him in a room and put a lock on the door and don't let him out of the referees. The NFL can't afford to make
an extra person.
Yeah, I mean, this is
where's the ball cap when we need one?
This is so dumb. Like, why would this ever be an issue that you would have a chance to deflate the football?
I totally agree, but I don't think it would have mattered. Yeah, brick or beach ball.
That's it. I say they play with the Nerf balls.
Brady was having a good day, so that was pretty much all there was to that.
That's the end of that. Professor Dave Chow is here dutifully filling out the show sheet. We very much appreciate that.
Sure.
For Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Thank you for coming, Dave.
Sure.
Because he has that illustrator's handwriting.
Yes.
You notice?
What, for penmanship?
Spotless.
Architects write that way,
sure,
too.
Sure, yeah. I almost went into architecture, so.
Okay.
And then
that would have been good for you.
And then the M thing came up.
What's that?
Math.
Yeah, math.
Oh,
I was okay with math, and then it just got a little too intense. I'm like, nah.
I just pictured you drawing in block M.
I could do that.
I could do that.
I could do a lot of things.
I could do lots.
The M thing.
Draw pictures.
I can also play Pictionary with the best of them.
Yeah, I bet you can.
You should do that with me because I can't draw anything.
Come on, Beth. Come on.
It's truly
hilarious. Do you and Drew have any friends you guys want to take on? I could be your
I happen to know that Professor Mayo is particularly skilled in Pictionary, particularly. Uh-huh. His bagel, a circle with dots, looked so much better than all the other circles with dots. It doesn't make sense. It is true.
You put it very well.
It was a bagel. And it was a bagel.
It was a bagel.
It was a bagel.
Needless to say, with three teams at the Chem Club retreat playing Pictionary, things got a little prickly.
Come on, it's Trivial Pursuit. I'm hard to beat.
It was heated.
Come on, you guys need help? I'd gladly go in. I could be your chemical engineer friend.
Man. I think that sounds like a great idea. We're going to have to think about this for the future.
Yes, where can we use Dave's skills in the building? I can think of many places.
I'm thinking Sistine Chapel ceiling right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The Chem 114 building.
Yeah, because that wasn't hard.
Actually, I just did a series of drawings for a digital book for chemistry.
Oh.
For the University of Toledo.
Oh, very cool.
I have no idea what the heck I was drawing, but they just asked me to draw it, and I just, all these chemical formulas. Okay, fine.
I bet they look molecular.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't understand a lick of it, but...
We'd also like to put a shout-out out there for our wonderful free cupcakes that we have today. Apparently, it's the 97th anniversary of the founding of the Varsity News, the University of Detroit / UDM's student newspaper. We're happy to see it.
With an interesting article on texting.
Yes. I saw Heather quoted in that. That was very interesting.
And she nailed it.
Very, very interesting.
I don't see why I shouldn't be able to text while I'm in class. Really? Really? You want to think about that for a nanosecond?
You know what? I think that this is a program where you send us questions regarding anything, and I think we should get some questions regarding texting. I think that would be interesting. Okay. Texting moments.
Yeah, text your message in. Text your question in. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's fine. You're not in class, I hope.
That's right. If you stump the panel, folks, you're going to win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, we're going to give you a slightly different, possibly irregular prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. I'm happy to announce after the last few months we have some lively conversations that are occurring on our Facebook page, so please check it out. And then you can cut it out, like Dave Coulier. Okay, we were looking at some questions from Kimberly Richards, and we're about halfway through a hodgepodge, as she has always been known to send us. We left off with, what was the highest income tax rate ever? And Beth jumped all over that. 94% in 1944. Somehow you knew that. I think that's fascinating.
I didn't. I just knew that there were still rich people in America when that was the highest income tax bracket. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was high under Eisenhower, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, for the record, taxable incomes over $200,000 in 1944 money, which makes it $2.6 million by modern standards. So, sheesh. God forbid, you know, the president actually suggests we might want to tap that. The way that civilization works, taxes. Who was the first African-American billionaire from the United States of America?
Billionaire?
You could say, what was he interested in? Billionaire, yes. Ooh. As in, I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. Yes. For the record, was also in 2001 the first black person of any kind to be listed on a Forbes World's Richest list.
Sean Puffy Combs?
No. Darn. No, that would have been
P. Diddy was kind of where I was thinking.
Yeah.
Russell Simmons?
Nope.
No.
Is it a celebrity or a
businessman? No, it's not a celebrity. It's a person who you would probably call a producer, director, you know, sort
Quincy
of thing.
Quincy Jones?
No.
No.
James Earl Jones? No, he's an actor.
Probably the single greatest black business entity in the history of the United States.
Oprah Winfrey.
No.
Oh, that is a good.
It's a big thing.
Female.
It's a big thing. Male.
Somebody from Johnson & Johnson or something along that lines. Hair care products.
If I give you the initials, you're going to immediately know exactly what I mean. B E T.
I was thinking B E T, but I couldn't think of who.
Black Entertainment Television, which would be.
His name is Robert Johnson, founder of Black Entertainment Television, first billionaire on Forbes' list. It's a pretty big deal.
I should have just said founder of BET, even though I don't know his name.
I would have given you full credit. Maybe minus half a point.
We were going to say that, but we didn't.
Yeah. I thought it.
Should have, could have,
a thought counts for half a point. Almost. Come on, Matt.
How many curtain calls did opera great Placido Domingo take when he was applauded for an hour and 20 minutes, the longest standing ovation on record. How many curtain calls is and how many times did he leave the stage and then come back to take more applause for an hour and 20 minutes? That's a little low.
25.
Oh, wow. A little low.
115.
Sure. How about 101 in June 1991 following a performance of Otello in Vienna?
Kept coming back.
The audience is hand. For the record,
his voice is pretty spectacular. But,
people have to keep track of these things. Fellow tenor Luciano Pavarotti, another very well-known name, made 165 curtain calls 3 years earlier, but that was only 1 hour and 7 minutes. Oh, geez.
I can never remember who the third tenor. They're the two of the three.
Jose Ferrara, right? Isn't it?
Is that? I don't know.
Jose. I can't remember.
Domingo, Luciano Pavarotti, and the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
It's Mo.
It's Chef Boyardee.
Oh, man, SpaghettiOs. They cook so tender. What served as the outer covering of the first waterbeds? You know what? We're going to have to make sure when we say first that I qualify that. We're talking 3,600 years ago in Persia.
Oh.
Skins. Seals?
Sheep.
No. Persia.
Persia.
Elephants.
Camels.
Tigers.
Yeah. Persian cats.
No. No, not the cats. Not the cats.
Sorry, Beth.
Not the cats.
I'm thinking about this little smushed face. Oh.
How many cats would it take? Wow, that's a big bed. What if it was a queen
it's
bed?
It's a twin bed.
It looks so weird.
We said elephants, right?
Yeah, it says goats here. Okay. Goats, goats in Persia. Electricity was not needed. Yeah,
those horns were prickly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kimberly observes electricity was not needed to heat them because the skins absorbed the sun during the day and then one had a warm.
I mean, isn't Persia relatively warm too? I mean,
yeah, I think that's safe to say. At night, it gets a little cold.
Modern day Iran, right?
Yeah.
What company was originally founded as Quantum Computer Services Incorporated in 1985 by Jim Kimsey?
Chuck?
I'm trying to think. I should know this.
This is like Amiga, Commodore, some weird...
At its peak, the company that Quantum Computer Services became had a membership of over 30 million people.
AOL?
AOL. Yeah. It was America Online. Yeah. It's almost a joke to say now, but for the record, America Online still boasts multiple millions of users daily in the year 2015. Weird. That is a little odd. I remember we used to get so many of those CD-ROMs in the mail.
Oh, remember you used a Blockbuster and they give you a free CD, or whatever.
I don't even know what to say about that. What ice cream flavors do Fozzie Bear and Kermit the Frog order in the Muppet movie? What a wonderful piece of trivia. That is beautiful.
Green tea?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Drew took a quiz on which Muppet are you, and he was Fozzie.
Okay.
He was disappointed because he really wanted to be Animal.
Oh,
poor guy.
You know, but Fozzie's good. He's a funny guy.
Fozzie is awesome. Yeah.
He's got opposable thumbs. That's good.
Yeah.
Tutti Frutti or...
No, Fozzie is a bear, so let's narrow it down from there. Honey is what Fozzie ordered. What did...
Mosquito?
What did...
Fly?
You know, you're in the wheelhouse, as we say. He got Dragonfly Ripple.
Oh, my goodness.
It had to be the Ripple.
Yeah, it had to be the Ripple.
Have you taken that... You can take quizzes on, like, which Star Wars character you are.
Mm-hmm. And I've taken a few of those.
I was Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wanted to be Yoda. I was really disappointed.
I think Obi-Wan's pretty good.
Yeah,
I was Hermione
bad.
On the which Harry Potter character are you? And I'm like, well, that's boring and expected. But.
I keep trying to bias what house I'm in the Harry Potter universe because I keep getting shoved into Hufflepuff, the lamest of the four. And I always fancied myself a Ravenclaw, but some other time. What two trademarks did German-based Bayer Pharmaceuticals forfeit at the end of World War I under the terms of the Treaty of Versailles?
Aspirin?
Yeah, that's definitely one of them.
Mm. And
Adolf von Baer was the first to isolate and synthesize aspirin, which my students did in the lab last week, actually. Acetylsalicylic acid.
Right.
The other one, this is a trademark that is well known, but not really in a therapeutic sense, unless you have a wide definition of the word
like
therapeutic.
Like morphine or something? Like some
close enough.
Narcotic.
Heroin.
Okay.
Heroin.
The trademarks were war reparations awarded the United States, Great Britain, France, and Russia in 1919. So here's the trade name, heroin.
It's yours.
It's all yours.
That was really what made Hitler angry.
Right.
That was the feature of Versailles he was ticked off about.
Oh, my gosh. What president so feared the number 13, he would summon his secretary to White House dinners when a 14th person was needed at the table? This is really ironic, considering possibly
who's the 13th president?
Most famous quote of all time.
FDR. Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, it was FDR. Yeah. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And spiders. And the number 13.
And the number 13. And the number 13.
And spiders. Yes, exactly. Oh, my. What was the greatest number of stripes that ever appeared on the official United States flag?
50?
Not 48. 50. Not 48. Stripes.
Stripes.
No, no. I'm just wondering if somebody just got a little overactive with the Singer sewing machine. That's all.
20? No.
No, but you're close. You're relatively close. 24? Consider we started with 13, right?
26?
Nope, you needed to go down.
18?
18, 19.
You know, it says here it's 15 on the U.S. flag adopted in 1795 after Vermont and Kentucky joined the original 13 colonies. In 1818, after five more states had joined, Congress permanently set the number of stripes on the flag at 13 and ruled every year on July 4th an additional star would be added to the flag for each state admitted to the Union since previous Independence Day.
Wow.
That would have been a very long, very wide flag. That's all I have to say. And while you think about that width, we'll take a break. We are back with some always good questions from Kimberly Richards. Thank you so much, especially for the hodgepodge. You know, I was remembering fairly recently in the last 2 years, I saw an interesting video on the internet. I should just stop talking there, right? The U.S. government has made creative graphic provisions, Professor Chow, for all possible combinations of stars on the American flag, up to 100. And there is one number, and I don't remember what it is, of symmetry where they cannot fit the extra star. So as an example, when we get our 67th state, they have no idea where that star is going to go. And they might just skip
on the
68.
They'll just put on the pole.
Because they have all the symmetry of what fits in the blue field figured out up to 100 states.
Can't they just put like one big star and put a number on there, you know, like football helmets or something like that? I mean, it'd be so much easier.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I can just imagine if Canada had to put like little maple leaves all over.
No. I just think that you know there was some sort of presidential commission on, like, we got to figure out how all these stars are going to fit for the eventuality of everything that might happen in the future.
We should be able to do that. Did you see Miss Canada's costume in Miss Universe? The 10 hockey sticks?
Wow. Wasn't it just made out of the net?
Yeah, there was a scoreboard in there. I mean, it was really over the top.
Yeah.
What's the name of the college in the classic film Animal House?
Faber.
Faber. Mm-hmm. Faber, Pennsylvania. Yep, absolutely. Directed by John Landis.
But filmed at the University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And about a misfit group of fraternity members who challenged
Yeah, let's
them.
Not talk University of Michigan fraternities.
Yeah,
let's not, shall we?
They're already on double secret probation.
That was my inspiration for going to college, so...
Oh, it was.
Animal House. I always wanted to take a motorcycle up a stairwell at CCS, but they never let me.
Never let you. Down is easier, by the way.
Gravity
horse,
does work.
The horse dying in Dean Wormer's office is the most hilarious thing ever.
Which U.S. president made Father's Day an official national holiday in 1972?
Nixon?
Nixon, it was, yep. The third Sunday of June is Father's Day. That's my lifetime. That's kind of freaky. I think we've had this question before, but it's one of those ones that should come up pretty much every year because it's a reasonable head-scratcher. In 1980, what person was presented with a key to the city of Detroit? Somebody you may not
Saddam Hussein.
Think it was Saddam Hussein. That is exactly right. He had donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to a Detroit church soon after he became president of Iraq. Saddam's bond with Detroit started in 1979 when the Reverend Jacob Yasso of Chaldean Sacred Heart congratulated Saddam on his presidency. In return, Yasso said his church suddenly received $250,000. A year later, Yasso traveled with 2 dozen people to Baghdad as a guest of the Iraqi government, and they were invited to Saddam's palace. Yasso said he presented Saddam with the key to the city courtesy of then-Mayor Coleman Young.
Well, now the South Park episode makes sense.
Yes.
Remember when Satan says, "Didn't I kill you already?" And Saddam goes, "Well, where was I going to go? Detroit?"
Thanks.
Because Saddam and Satan were having a passionate affair.
They were having an affair. Yes, they were. We have another set of questions here from the divine Barbara Bowles, professor of intercultural communication, CST 3140, course code at the University of Detroit Mercy, with some questions about Cuba. Recently, President Obama...
Gooding Jr. or the country?
Oh, country. Recently, President Obama announced a proposal, to lift the decades-old embargo on Cuba and reestablish U.S.-Cuban relations. This was good news to the students, faculty, alums, and guests going to Cuba May 27th with the University of Detroit Mercy's Study Abroad program under the direction of Laura Wasner. Since the president's announcement, articles about Cuba have been everywhere in the media. What did you already know, and what have you learned about Cuba? Let's see if we can figure this out.
I'm not saying nothing. Yeah, I could have gone at any time.
All right.
My cousins do go, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And as a Canadian, yeah, we can go pretty easily. Yeah.
I mean, actually, from what I understand, it's very easy to travel to Cuba if you're already in the Caribbean. Like, if you go to Puerto Rico, then you can get over there very easily. And I don't mean, like, snarkily. Like, you just have to swim.
You can hop in the river.
No, don't do that.
river.
We have three things here that have multiple different responses that actually seems kind of fun. See if you can complete the following statement. It's a short one. Cuba is... what? Anything.
The home of Ricky Ricardo.
Okay, sure.
They make great sandwiches.
Technically communist.
Technically communist, yes. That is true.
Got nice old cars.
That's what I hear.
Sunny weather.
Sunny weather. It is a certain kind of geography.
An island.
It is an island, yes. It is how many miles from Miami, Florida?
97.
100 is a good way to do it. What language do they speak in Cuba?
Spanish.
And Cuba is led by?
Raul Castro.
Yeah. Raul.
One Castro or another.
Yeah.
Castro.
And it is also, Cuba is the location of what American base?
Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Gitmo.
Let's try this one. Cuba has?
Cigars.
That's one of the things that's on the list.
I got my two from
Universal
my bachelor
Universal health care.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they do.
Great weather.
One party system.
That is the first thing on the list is tropical, beautiful weather.
One party system. What else?
A dictator.
To a certain extent, this is true. It's really a dictator's brother.
It's all the family.
I had to ask my wife the other day, I'm like, is Castro still alive? She's like, you mean Fidel, right? Because it's run. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, I don't think he passed away, did he? He's just sort of
he's still
bedridden.
He's still floating around.
Yeah, they keep like theorizing that maybe he did, and then they're like, oh no, a sighting comes up.
What was he like a Muppet?
They have just like old cars. How about old automobiles? 1950s.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, definitely something else that's on the list. It also has here. It's a place where you can get a lot of rum, which I think is good. And paladares. Do you guys know what they are?
No.
They are very fine restaurants that essentially only have one table because they're operated in private homes. Like, Chuck's going to cook for us, and we're going to Chuck's restaurant.
Sure. I am.
I think it'd be great, by the way.
I am.
Sandwiches with pickles.
Pickles.
Oh, Vincente's downtown.
Oh, my gosh.
Did anybody list beer? Mojitos?
Mojitos were not listed. Are mojitos
and
from
they
Cuba?
They should have been,
they have
yes.
Beer? They make a microbrew there.
It doesn't have it here.
Yeah.
See if you can figure this one out, because we had Cuba has. We'll finish up with Cuba was
a democracy.
At one point, don't really see it here.
It
was
dictator got replaced. Batista was a Democrat.
Cuba was
the site of a really terrible U.S. foreign policy.
Bay of Pigs?
Yeah, I'd have to give you that. Even though it's not on the list, it's definitely true. It's the site of one of America's lesser-known wars.
Spanish-American.
Spanish-American War took place in Cuba, where a certain country's president was treated for cancer.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Think a little more recent.
No.
Who would be Cuba's friend? Another place that hates our guts, but gave us Miguel Cabrera, so we're happy.
Venezuela. That would be,
President Chavez.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, President Chavez apparently was treated for cancer there. Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Before the revolution, led by...
Oh, what was his name?
Not Fidel.
Nope.
Che Guevara.
No. That's not what it says here. Capital B?
Bolivar?
No, it says Batista.
Oh, he was the
led Cuba before the revolution.
That I knew. I thought you meant led the revolution.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
With a capital R.
And last but not least, from the 20s to the 50s, a certain persuasion of American treated Cuba like their playground, obviously up until the Bay of Pigs.
The rich.
Mm-hmm. Not just the rich, but the rich and...
Famous?
Racketeering.
Oh.
Mafia.
The Mafia was a big hangout for the Mafia down in Al Cubano.
The Mambo Kings.
The Mambo
Great
Kings.
Great film.
Yep.
Highly recommend it.
During the Spanish-American War, blank led his troops up blank in Cuba.
Teddy led his troops up, it was a hill.
San Juan Hill?
San Juan Hill, that's right. My great-grandfather was part of the Rough Riders, and he rode up that hill with Teddy Roosevelt.
Really? Now, why were they called the Rough Riders again? Was it the bad
just
saddles?
In general, you know?
Teddy's like, image of himself, I think.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
I just wasn't sure if there was some backstory to why.
There was, I probably have Professor Chow try to illustrate this later because it's very difficult to describe, but from my earliest memory of visiting the basement at my maternal grandparents' house, it was a long, almost 9-foot pole with a very, very large, almost sickle-like blade parallel to the pole. And my grandmother just did awesome with provenance and keeping track of things. And this was my great-grandfather's at some point. His name was Trenkel, was his last name. And he rode with Teddy Roosevelt and said, saw a Cuban man use it to chop the head off a horse, a la the Spanish-American War. And she still has it in her basement with that little tag hanging off it describing what it was used for. It's kind of cool. I always thought
it was
kind of cool.
Maybe grandkids
worth some money.
Well,
if
I mean,
sell them on eBay.
It's a piece of history.
That's
you know?
Right.
It's a piece of history. Yeah, we've already jumped on Barbara's next question. Oh. Roosevelt's troops were called
the Rough Riders.
The Rough Riders. Yeah, they rode rough, from what I understand. What famous early TV personality was born in Cuba?
Desi Arnaz.
Yes, the husband of Lucille Ball.
My 8th grade science teacher, but he was not a television personality.
Your 8th grade science teacher was from Cuba?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, cool.
Mr. Diaz.
Okay.
I remember,
Very cool.
Because I spilled acid on my shirt.
What happened?
In class.
Did he neutralize it?
Yeah. It burned the cuff of my shirt a little bit.
I bet it did.
It was my fault, not his.
Okay. Was it Cuban acid?
No.
Who knows where the HCl could have been from? What famous American author also had a home in
Cuba?
Ernest
Hemingway.
Yes. What book did Hemingway write based on his fishing experiences in Cuba?
The Old Man in the Sea.
The Old Man in the Sea. My 8th grade and 7th grade compatriots in grade school decided it was the worst book I've ever read in my entire life. Oh, man. That could not have happened at a better time. Otherwise, I'd go into other grade school memories. It's time to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Oljar.
See you next week.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.